I am horrible at like affirmation circles and all that because I cry every single time. So I had to write down my thank yous on my little piece of notebook paper. And let me start off with my thank yous. Spiritual Life Committee, thank you so much for this opportunity for me to be able to stand up here and be able to proclaim the truth and the love of the Word of God. I do not take it lightly, and I hope you know that. One day, I'll be able to thank each and every one of you individually, but today is not that day because I have no idea who you are. I will have to talk to Scotty later because apparently he knows. To the professors and mentors here at CBC, wow, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you truly care and that each and every day you guys put God's love into action in our lives. And I really couldn't imagine a better team to lead this school and to lead us into the next coming years, whatever may happen. And I truly believe that each and every one of you are anointed and appointed to this very position that you're in. And whatever stress that comes in the next couple of years, the next couple of months, my prayer for you is that you don't get weary and that you will trust in the Lord because He is here with you in all that you're working on. To my family, my mom is here, and thank you for flying out. Thank you for always supporting me, even when you don't understand. And thank you for, thank you for just loving me in and throughout everything that I've been through. Thank you for sending me to the Philippines 5 years ago to get my life straight. To my COP family, Cathedral of Praise in the Philippines, to the Sumrals, to all the pastors, and all of my friends back there, I miss you guys. I love you. Thank you for helping me build this foundation that I stand on today. To my friends here at CBC, my hall, B3E, what up? And to my Seasons group, to just everyone here that I've come to know and come to love. Thank you guys so much for all the laughs, for all the hugs, for all the times that you've walked with me, the years that I've been here at CBC. To my friends who, my close friends who couldn't be here today, to Alex and Crystal. Alex was the one on the video. She's pregnant, so she can't fly. But, I've known her for almost 10 years, and I love you. You're my sister, and, I can't wait till your little baby girl comes and she can call me auntie. And I know that God has such a work for your life, and thank you so much for always supporting me. To Alexis, my best friend, you've always had my back, from our late night Taco Bell runs to our awesome dance parties, choreographed, of course. I love you dearly, and I can't wait till you make my children cat sweaters. And I truly believe that you are a world changer and that you are going to shake this world up for Jesus. And Christopher, man, these are hard. I love you so much. Just the way that you show your love and in your nature and your character. Thank you for always helping me to be a better person. And thank you for loving me even when I cry about cheese. All right, you guys have to ask about that later. inside joke. All right. Well, can we pray? Let's pray, guys. Jesus, thank you so much for just your amazing presence in this place today, God, that you are greater and you are mightier than anything that we are walking through. Thank you, Lord, that today we have the awesome opportunity to open up your word and for that word to just bring life to our spirits, God. I pray that right now, as we begin to open up your word, your Holy Spirit just brings that light to each and every one of us, God, that we may be able to receive something from you today, that today it is not about Victoria, it's not about whatever I say, my opinion, it's not about that, Lord. I pray, God, that right now you speak through me and that your words become life to everyone here. Lord, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you, God, that you are going to be with us here today and that we will not leave here the same. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. All right. Wow, there's a lot of people here. Well, I love romantic comedies. Who loves romantic comedies? I love the fact of it that it can make you laugh and it can make you cry literally at the exact same time. Like, for example, The Notebook. At the part at the very end where he's still telling her the story and they're old and, you know, they're in that little, they're having a little date night, and then she remembers him and they, you know, they give each other a hug, and I'm just like, ah, that's so awesome. And then like 2 seconds later, she forgets who he is and then starts pushing him away, and then you're like crying, you're bawling. Makes you laugh and cry at the exact same time. They just play with your emotions. Or how about Pride and Prejudice? One of our favorite movies. The part at the end, the remake, of course, the part at the end, Tiffany says no, she likes the original. The part at the end where Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth finally get together, and they're near that, whatever, the lake thing. And he asks her what terms of endearment he should call her. And she lists all of these things. And so she says, "You can only call me Mrs. Darcy if you are completely, perfectly, and incandescently happy." And so he continues to call her Mrs. Darcy. And Mrs. Darcy, and you're just like, ah, it's so awesome. And then we have people here at CBC, people that we know in our lives who are just awesome examples of what love is. You know, we have the Bakers, the Denbos, people here who have shown through their relationships, we see what love is and what love can be in our own lives. We have these examples, we have these people, these ideas, and these thoughts about love. But then we open up this book of life and we see that this book is, it's our love story. It's our love story from the Lord, and it's been written since the beginning of time. We start off in Genesis, to where God created the heavens and the earth and everything in between, and then with his bare hands formed us from the dirt, with his bare hands, meaning that from that time he wanted that personal and intimate relationship with us. Our love story began. Because of that love, he sent out the prophets to all of the nations because of their sin and rebellion against them, because he did not want to leave them in that sin. He wanted to let them know that he loves them and he wanted them to be right with him. Our love story continues. We all know what happens in the New Testament. God's full expression of his love and his grace expressed through his son, Jesus Christ. Somebody would not send his only son to die for you on the cross if he did not love you. And even though we fall short daily, even though there are things that we need to work on, things where we need to get right, we are graciously justified through that love. That is love. Love that has pursued us from the very beginning. Love that has been put into action daily. Our definition of love and the things that make us cry and laugh at the same time, the things that give us these giddy feelings, that kind of love, it pales in comparison to the love that was shed for us on the cross. Pales in comparison. And as I was preparing this sermon, you know, I was praying. I was like, Lord, I know that I love you. I know that I love you with all my heart because, and I started to list all these reasons. I'm here at CBC. I follow the call upon my life. I pray every day, and I read your word. I go to classes. I'm working so that I can pay off school bills and so I can be, you know, just be stable in my life. However, when I look upon the Church of Ephesus in Revelation 2 verses 1 to 7, we see that Ephesus, we're a lot like the church in Ephesus, where they were a church who was very, very hardworking, very, very just wanting to do the things of the Lord. But in this passage, the Lord reveals something to them that I would think would make them stop dead in their tracks, as I hope that would do for us today too. I think there's a slide of the passage, Revelation 2, verse 1 to 7. If not, you guys can just follow along with me in your Bible. It reads, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This passage, written by John, were Jesus' words. Jesus had commanded him to write down all that he had seen in this vision and to send it to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Ephesus was a very significant city in the days of John. I kind of picture like a modern day New York. All right. If you can picture that with me, like a modern day New York, very busy, very like they're very focused on trade and commercial. They're just always, always busy. John made this place a center for evangelism, and they were strong in very many areas in their lives. Let's take a look at what they were strong in. The first one, they stood up to the task. This church is said to be very, very hardworking. They're said to be persevering. They worked hard for the ministry and in the ministry, laboring to the point of pain and personal sacrifice. And Jesus says to them, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know all that you're doing for me. And we at CBC, we have this plate. And ever since we got here, we just keep piling on all these things of what, you know, our busyness. We have school. We have school. We have work. We have ministry. We have internships. We have meetings. All of these things that we consist of. And our plate gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And some of us, we have busier schedules than others, but all of us have made one decision that we all have in common, and that is that we have stood up to the task, and we have come here at CBC and answered the call of God upon our lives. Even through financial stress, through doubt, through family trouble, our answer has always been yes. Now, of course, there are things that we can work on. There are always things that we can work on. We should always, always strive to be the best that we can be in standing up to every opportunity, every task that God lays in front of us. Secondly, they stood up for truth. This church was seen as very doctrinally pure. Now, here we are, you know, we have amazing professors here at CBC who are constantly, constantly sharing their wisdom with us in their classes and even outside of class. We learn how to exegete a passage correctly. We learn how to preach the word correctly. We learn all of these things. And, you know, we try when we go out into the world to stand up for the truth that we are learning constantly in the word of God, a strength. And thirdly, they stood up to the test. They stood up to the test. This church says in this passage, they endured hardships for his name and they did not grow weary. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I get worn out. I get tired because of everything that I'm doing. But this church, they didn't get weary. They didn't get tired for doing things for the Lord. And yet, the Lord still warns them about something. He looks upon their strength and he says, I see you. I see all that you are doing for me. Yet you are lacking something very, very valuable. In Revelation 2 verse 4, it starts off with, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Ephesus, you know, it's just common sense. If you had something at first and you lost it, then you must have had it at first, right? Because it says in the following verses, remember the height from which you have fallen, repent and do the things you did at first. Ephesus had lost their first love, meaning that at one time they had that love. They had that. And Jesus says, you lost it. What does that mean? What does it mean that they lost it? As we look in Acts 19, if you want to turn with me there really quick, Acts 19 verse 17, something just happened with an evil spirit. And it starts off with in verse 17. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and in power. That verse is a little bit dark, but it's dark for a reason. These people weren't, they were divulging in some pretty dark, pretty wicked stuff. It wasn't just they forgot to pray that day, or it wasn't just they only prayed for 5 minutes instead of an hour. It wasn't something like that. It was some dark, it was some wicked stuff that they were indulging in. And in this passage, it shows you that they had confessed openly everything that they were doing. They confessed it openly because they realized that they needed redemption. They needed a savior. They publicly confessed their need for Jesus in the gospel, and that deep and passionate love for him was brought into life. They were desperate. They were in a place where they were like, God, man, I know that I need to change, and I know that all of these things are wrong, and I don't want to not have your power. So here it is. Here it is all out on the table. It's for your taking. And they surrendered. They completely surrendered it to him. Yet somewhere down the road, that longing and that desperation for the Lord, it became civilized. They started to go away from the truth and the heart of the gospel, and they started to replace that truth with just thoughts and ideas about Jesus that they loved. I have never been married. I've never been on a honeymoon. But I can only imagine the excitement of such events. You know, you found the perfect person. You guys, you know, you're going through this whole process, and you start your life together, finally. And everything is perfect. You know, you wake up next to that person, and they're telling you that they love you. They go throughout their day and they're texting you saying, hey, I miss you. I want to spend time with you. You guys plan all these date nights. You plan all these things that you want to do just to be still and be with that person. But what if a year later, a year or two later, I'm not trying to scare any of you who are getting married, but what if a year or two later, that person is like, they still do the groceries. They still get groceries for you. They still take care of the kids. They're still cleaning up the house. Yet, they don't tell you they love you every day. Or how about they no longer want to plan date nights? They no longer just want to be still with you and just enjoy your presence. I'm big on quality time. I love quality time. What if that person just no longer wanted to spend quality time with you? Again, not trying to scare you. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you guys. But it's so vital that a relationship like that is kept fresh daily. And our number one priority, the Lord, that relationship with him needs to be kept fresh daily, over and over and over again. It is constantly falling in love with him, coming to a place of complete desperation for him, coming back to him, our first love. So what now? We know that, you know, we're strong in these areas of life, and then we know that God has warned us that we have forsaken our first love. So what now? First of all, he tells us in this passion that we need to remember when we first fell in love with him. Ephesus fell in love with Jesus when they realized the power of the gospel to set them free from every single chain that they had in their life. That power, it superseded anything else that they had in their life before. And they realized that power in their life, and they came to complete falling in love with him and complete desperation to be with him. Do you remember the time that love completely pursued you, and the time that all the chains were broken in your life? Because I do. And when we begin to get unfamiliar, we begin with the Lord and spending time in his presence and falling in love with him, we lose that passion. We lose the weight of the gospel in our life. Secondly, repent. Ephesus was told to repent, and that word holds a lot of meaning. Repentance brings freedom. When Danny spoke last week, I don't know if he's here, but he stated over and over again that we need to be children of light. We need to be children of light. The gospel is the best news that you are ever going to hear. But it requires our understanding that we fall short of the glory of God daily. You know, we're not perfect. We go to a Bible college. We try and, you know, do things right. We try and do the right things, but we are not perfect. We strive for holiness as Jesus Christ being our standard for holiness, but we are not perfect. And we need to, in order to maintain that relationship with the Lord, we need to be able to bring it all to the table daily and say, God, here it is. Purify me from all of my sins so that I can receive the love that you want to give from me, and that I can give that back to you wholly. You cannot be fake with people because people know when you're fake. If you need to, if you are real with other people and let them know where you fall short and where you are not perfect, then you are able to just completely be free. You're able to just receive that love from them and be able to give it in return. Some days it's really easy to be here. It's really easy to follow the call of God upon your life, to go forth, to do the task, to stand up to the test. It's really easy some days, but you are deceived and you are a liar if you say that there is no battle, if you say that there a battle is non-existent. Because there is somebody who also wants your soul. And daily you have to make a choice to be purified from all that is within you so that you can live fully in the love that God has laid out for you. It puts your relationship with God at a priority and your relationship with other people. Thirdly, fall back in love with Him. Fall back in love with Him. It's so easy to say. It's so easy to say, I love the Lord. I want to spend time with His presence. But is it easily done with all that we have doing? You know, sometimes I think that we are Marthas wanting to do everything for the Lord when He is around us. God, look what I'm doing for you. Look at all the things that I've prepared for you. Look at, you know, somebody just got saved over here because I preached your gospel. Look at this, look at that. But God desires a Mary in that sometimes we just sit at His feet. We just sit at His feet and we're like, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. I work two jobs and there are times where it's difficult to, you know, just be able to sit and be still. But even through our schedules, even through people who work jobs, who have meetings and all of that, we need to be able to find time to make it a priority. When you make someone a priority, you're going to do whatever and anything you have to do to be able to put them first. If you have a break or if you have, you know, lunchtime or whatever it is, you need to be able to say, God, I'm taking my Bible with me. I'm going to go to the restroom and I'm going to pray just so I can spend time with you. Be anxious. Be anxious to spend time with the Lord. When I was little, I love the ice cream truck because I love like the little salt things. Yeah, Alexis knows what I'm talking about. Little salt things. And whenever the ice cream truck would come, I knew when it was coming and I'd run out there and I would be like, oh, the ice cream truck's coming. I'd go grab whatever money I had or I'd borrow it from my mom. And I'd go up there and I'd be like, can I get my ice cream? Can I get my little salt lime thing? And I'd get it. And every single day, whenever I knew I was going to be at home and the ice cream truck was coming, I was going to run out there. I was anxious. I knew that it was coming. I knew that it was coming. And in that same way, we need to be anxious for the Lord. That when we have a small bit of time in our daily schedule, we need to be able to say, God, man, I have this opening in my schedule. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm not going to go, you know, spend time with my friends. That can wait. Today, I'm going to spend time with you. Our love for God, it's personal. It's a personal decision and we have to make it individually. But notice that in this letter to Ephesus, Jesus was talking to the entire church in Ephesus. It wasn't just one person, which I think is so cool that Tyler come up here and want us to worship corporately. Because the decisions that we make individually, it affects other people. And we as CBC, we're a family. If one person is out there and they don't want to hear the word of God, they don't love God, if they don't want to do the things for His kingdom, then we need to be able to reach out for them because no one is left behind. No one is left behind. That personal need for the Lord and the love that we have for Him needs to be a fragrance to other people. That when they see that, when somebody, whoever's sitting next to you, when they see that love, they are changed completely. And if we as CBC are truly serious about wanting to see souls saved, then we need to fall in love with God over and over and over again. It shouldn't even be a question. God's love, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's all-consuming. And it captures our hearts. I remember the time when I was pursued by the Lord. I stated earlier that my mom sent me to the Philippines, and it sounds kind of harsh saying it that way, but she made a very difficult decision in doing that because she wanted me to get right. And I was over there, you know, hard heart and everything. God pursued me. He pursued me across the world. And finally, I came to a point where he showed me what was going on in my life. He showed me what my hurts were, what my doubts were, everything that I had been holding on to. He pursued me. But he didn't just pursue me saying, hey, you need to get right. You need to do this. No, he came after me with love. He came after me with the love that put him on the cross because he desires to be with me. And it took me moving all that way to realize that God had a better plan. He had something better in store, that he loved me. And I can remember the moment that I fell in love. I can remember the moment that I came to the altar. I may not remember who I was with. I may not remember what song I was singing or what the worship team was playing, but I can remember the exact moment that I met God. I can, because you don't leave that place the same. You may not remember details, but you remember the presence of God. I was desperate. I was in love, and I wanted to know more about why he did this for me. You know, there's no denying that my schedule has gotten busier, that our schedules have gotten busier. But again, we need to make him a priority and fall in love with him daily. The times that I feel like in my own life that I am weary and I am worn out and I'm burnt out, you know, God is so good at just saying, Victoria, you need to just be still in my presence. You need to be still in my presence and know that I am God and that I love you and I have a better plan for your life. Stop doing these things. Stop being busy. Yes, it's important. But for right now, be still. In the moment that I'm like, God, I want to meet you here. I want to meet you in this place. It's like floodwaters. He comes and meets you there in your place of desperation. If you remember me, the woman in the Bible who bled for 12 years, she was desperate. She was seen by her culture as unclean, as dirty. Yet she pushed past the crowds just to touch the tip of Jesus' garment to be healed. And was she healed? Yes, she was healed in her point of desperation because she longed to be with the Lord. Desperation makes you do some crazy things sometimes. And it's okay. It's okay to be crazy. It's okay to say no to things in order to be able to be in the Lord's presence. We should never be okay with our only place of worship being here in chapel, or our only place of worship being on a Sunday morning in church. We can't be okay with knowing God or loving God through secondhand information. We can't know God through somebody else's Facebook status about what they posted about him. We can't know God through somebody else's miracle. We can't do that because God longs to be with you individually. It needs to be refreshed daily. We need to cultivate his presence and practice his presence in our life above all else, in the quiet place above all else. Yeah, I really feel that God's presence is just so sweet in this place, and that he is opening up every one of our hearts, myself included. And you know what? I'm going to allow whoever wants to come forward just to spend time in God's presence to do that and say, God, just fill me to overflowing once again. Let me be still in your presence and spend some quality time with you, because I don't have time the rest of the day. But if you want to stay in your seats and read your Bible, write something down in your journal, you can do that. Or if you want to leave and go somewhere quiet, go to your dorm room, whatever it is that you have to do to put him first, to make him a priority, do it. Do it. Today, this is your choice. And it's a choice that you have to make, because you have a choice to see if you are going to put God first right now and if you're going to fall completely in love with him once again. God, thank you so much. God, just for your love, that God, you pursue us and that your love is constantly put into action in our lives. God, even though we don't deserve it, even though we fall short, Lord, you touch our hearts every single time we ask you. God, thank you that today, Lord, that we have a chance to just be with you and be in your presence and just to be refreshed. Because in your presence, Lord, we find fullness of joy. We find strength. We find peace. And God, I know that when we put you first in our lives, when we come back to you, our first love, that Lord, we will not leave this place the same. That God, we will walk out of these doors knowing that you have put such a burden on our hearts to just want to be with you. And God, I pray, Lord, that we will not forget all that you have done for us and the message and the truth of your gospel. I pray, Lord, that today you change hearts and that your spirit just open up our hearts, God, because we love you and we desire to just be with you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.